Father, thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can worship you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you conquered death and you are seated at the right hand of the Father God, and you are interceding for us this very moment. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, welcome everyone. So this morning we're going to speak on Galatians 5. We're just going to do the first two verses. I'll read for us the first five verses, but we're just going to do the first two verses. Romans 5. Thank you, Talita. You are wide awake. Okay, for those that were not here the last time, let's quickly recap Romans 4. I just sense the words just now that the cross takes us at a slower pace. I know we want to move fast and we want to run, and but the cross forces us to slow down. We can easily lose sight of the cross as we storm through life. The cross is where our faith in Jesus Christ brings peace between God and man. And that's what we're going to touch on this morning. The last time we touched on the promise of God in terms of the city of God. This morning we're going to look at peace with God and access to this grace of God, and maybe a little bit on joy, because we need joy when it comes to suffering, when it comes to what the young people did, bringing their testimony into the dark places of the city, and there is rejection. We need joy, and we need the joy of Jesus in that. Alpa, you can put on the aircon. Is it a bit warm in here?
Yeah.
Alpa, please put on the aircon. The remote is there on that table at the back. So just a little bit. Everything starts with God that is just. So God is a just God. And everything that he does, the justice that comes from him, is good justice. The amazing thing about God is that he doesn't move in this dimension of time that we are in. We are in a dimension of place and time that is going, that's going to pass away. Even if I die now, time has got no value to me. Time only has a value for this body, because this body connects to this world. But the moment I die, my soul and spirit are in eternal time. That there's just eternity. Time, we talk about chronos time, chronological. So chronos time is this time, is this date, hour, second. So that will come to an end. So God moves across time. He can go backwards, he can go forwards. So when God says to me, Marius, this is what I'm going to do with you, and I think, it's not possible. God has already been to my future. He's seen what he's going to do with me, and he speaks into this moment. It boggles my mind, but it's nothing new to God. It's natural to him, because he moves across time, backwards and forwards. How does healing take place? A lot of time there's trauma, because something happened to us, intense pain happened to us. It can be emotional pain. We can't deal that pain. We can't share that pain with anybody. And we get stuck somewhere in the past. We call it trauma. Who can heal that? Only God can heal that, because he moves outside of time. He can go back to that memory. He can go back to that instance, what happened to us. And him being just, he can heal that moment. He can heal that memory, even now. So God is just. And that the link between the cross, if you look at the vertical beam, the link between man and God is this upright beam of the cross, the vertical beam. And I wrote there in the middle, faith in Jesus Christ. You've got it on there, Daniel, thanks. Faith in Jesus Christ. So you've heard people saying that they have faith in God. It's not the same. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. Why is that? Are we selfish in this religion that we say there's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ? There's only one that gave up everything. But 3 days ago, I woke up from a deep sleep, and the Lord gave me, just go back one slide, Daniel. He gave me those words, similar words to those at the top. I heard these words inside me, saying that He gave everything. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking about Jesus. He gave everything. And that's why we have this title, Jesus Willingly Gave Himself. He gave up His glory in heaven. We sang about it this morning, His kingship. He gave it up to become a man like us. When you think about Jesus, don't think about this God that walked on earth. He was a man like us. And because He was a man like us, He suffered like us. He endured like us. Every emotional pain that we can think of, He went through. Rejection, loneliness, any pain that there is that we feel in this life, not being understood, people not getting us. There's a pain just there, that people don't get me. That's a pain that we as people suffer. People don't get, a group doesn't get us. We call it group identity. It's important within a group that joy is released as we look into each other's faces. Just the way there's medical people here, so they'll know much more than me. But when I look at Debbie, there's something that goes into my right eye, a signal, which immediately starts here at the back of my brain, the right brain. And it starts going through my right brain, and then it connects to my left brain. This is the logical part. But there's so much happening here in the subconscious. There's levels, there's at least 4 levels in my right brain. My right brain is very, very fast. Six cycles a second, where my logical brain is slower. It's 5 cycles a second. So it runs through here, the signal, and then I have an interpretation here, which is not always right. So it's based on the face of Debbie, what I experienced from her, and my face towards her. And we're going to touch a little bit about the face of God, which is very much connected to His grace. The Bible talks about joy, the joy of God, it talks about His face towards us. Think about your father looking at you. He's proud of you. You did something. And he's proud and he's affirming you. That face of his, that eyes of his shining on you. This is the way God looks at us. He's joyful about us. His face, we'll read some scriptures just now. His face, he turns towards us. And he's excited about us. So Romans 4, we tackled righteousness, and it starts with a God that is just, and it starts with our faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot say we have faith in God without Jesus Christ. There's people that are saying that, but that's not the truth. You can't have faith in God. Faith in God is going through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that paid on the cross, that died for our sin. And because He died for our sin, we can have the righteousness of God. The God that is just imputes righteousness. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's grace that He imputes. He imputes sin when you do not believe in God. He imputes sin. And if you'll read through Romans 4, you'll pick up on all these words there. So I just gave us this little picture to connect with. Let's start with Galatians 5. Romans 5. Why am I not in Galatians 5? What is in Galatians 5 that's important? The fruit of the Spirit. Maybe we should focus on that. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness. So that's the fruit. Fruit is connected to our works. Do you see the horizontal beam of the cross? The works that flows from us is either the red works, self-righteous works, or these works that flows from believers. And the work that God wants from us is works that give Him glory. And that only comes through His righteousness. When we do stuff from our flesh, the glory will come to us. So that righteousness is what Paul is speaking against in Romans 4. It's the self-righteousness that he saw in the Roman church. And he's speaking against this. He says, you cannot work up your own righteousness. You need God's righteousness to live. Okay, let's go to Romans 5. Danya? Okay, I'm going to read that first five verses. We're only going to do verse 1 and 2, but I want to read the first five verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So first of all, Jesus Christ, He is our peace. So what happened here is that man was separated by God from God because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. So sin is just unbelief that separates us from God. And for peace to be restored between us and God, the blood of Jesus needed to pay. That blood needed to be the ransom for our sin, to redeem us from sin. So Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. We find that in Isaiah 9 verse 6. He is our peace, who has made both one. We find that in Ephesians 2:14. So here he's just speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. And the tabernacle and the temple had these three areas. You had the outer court, where everybody could mix, Gentiles, Jews, they could all mix. And then you could go into the holy place, where only the Jews were allowed to go into. And there was a sign there that says, on pain of death, you enter here. And they would really kill anybody that goes in there that's not a Jew. Except if you're a Jewish proselyte, which means you've accepted Judaism as your faith. So you've been baptized in water, and if you're a man, you've been circumcised, and you're following all the rituals of the Jews, then you're allowed to go in there. And then there was the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is where the presence of God dwelt. Once a year, the high priest will go in there. How does this apply to us? Once, Jesus Christ was that Passover lamb. And He paid the sin. And He became the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the covering. So that priest will take this lamb, and the blood will cover all the people's sins for 1 year. Until the next year, Passover, you will do the same. Not so with Jesus. Jesus paid once, forever. So our sins are covered forever. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. You have the righteousness of God. What happens when we sin? Do we go this side? We can't. Because Jesus has become our sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. As long as we keep on believing in Jesus Christ, we will keep moving forward from faith to faith in Jesus Christ. So don't let the devil keep you and say there is shame and there is guilt. Shame and guilt is not from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is on this side of the cross. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He will not shame you. He will not put a guilt trip on you. He will convict you of sin. So that 1 John 1 verse 9, we confess our sins. And God comes and He forgives us. You understand that principle? It's very simple. So Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. Once again, He's speaking about all the nations, combining them together. That picture I showed you of the tabernacle and the temple that I portrayed there. In Jesus, He made everyone. There was no separation. The Gentile nations not allowed to go into the holy place. All are one. So the peace He's not speaking about here is, think not that I am Jesus, is speaking. It's in John 16 verse 33. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Why would Jesus say that? The peace that He's bringing is a spiritual peace. This peace is a spiritual peace. It's not a natural peace. Peace between nations. It's not that kind of peace. Absence of war. It's not speaking about that peace. Sorry, that was Matthew 10:34. John 16:33. In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. So when we go out in the world and we speak the gospel there, we will have a resistance for the truth. Why is that? The world doesn't want truth. There's a concept, I don't know if you've heard of it, existential philosophy. Ever heard of that word? John, you called it something different. What did you call it?
Nihilism.
Annihilism. Anybody heard of that concept? So what it comes down to is that your truth is what you feel. Your emotions, your reasoning, that is what is truth. Everyone has got his own truth. This is what the world teaches. And the reason they do that is because they're saying, and they're right, there is not an answer in terms of peace for this world. Think about America at the moment. They're probably going to go into elections now anytime. What is the answer for peace outside of Christ? What is the answer for peace for America? There's no answer. Definitely a politician is not the answer. Only Jesus is the answer for peace. And that's why this philosophy says that nobody in this world can offer us peace. So we have our own truth, we have our own standard, and we live by that. That is a hopeless belief system. The belief system that we hold onto is the biblical worldview, and it is the cross. Faith in Jesus Christ, the cross central to everything that we do. That is the biblical worldview. And this alone can give you peace, spiritual peace. There will be a time when this world will have a false peace. Daniel and Revelations and other books speak about Antichrist that's going to stand up. And he's going to make a treaty with the nations of the world. And they will believe him. But he will deceive them, because only for a while, 3.5 years, he will uphold this treaty and then he will break it. But it will be a false peace. It won't be the true peace. The only true peace will be when Jesus Christ comes in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem coming down. The city of God coming down. We already are being part of that city of God. As the bride and as the church of God, we are already part of the city of God. And the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, he says, the city will come down from heaven, the New Jerusalem, adorned as a bride for the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? It's Jesus. We are his bride. We who believe We have faith in Jesus Christ. We are His bride. Okay, so we looked at peace. And the second verse there talks about access. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. I gave you that illustration just now of the temple, and also in the wilderness was the tabernacle. Into the Holy of Holies, the high priest could only have access once a year. We have access through the blood of Jesus. We've got access any moment, any time of the day. We've got access to God because it's through His blood and it's through faith. If you read the book of Hebrews, you'll see there's a few ways that He's saying to access God. It's by faith, it's by hope, it's by the blood of Jesus, it's by the Holy Spirit, and it's on this new and living way. So we have access to the Holy of Holies. I want to touch a little bit on joy. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures on joy. Talks about it in that verse. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So this side of the cross, the reward of grace is faith, hope, and love. Other side of the cross, if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's unbelief, there's no hope, and there's hate. So joy, now think about the face of God. Think about your Father looking at you with joy. Numbers 6 verse 25 and 26. Jehovah makes His face shine upon you and be gracious with you. Jehovah lift up His face to you and give you peace. Psalm 4 verse 6 and 7. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Jehovah, lift up the light of your face on us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased. Psalm 31:16, make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your mercy. And I think the next one I've put on there, if you go to the next slide. Psalm 44 verse 3, this is such a beautiful psalm. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. Can you see the picture of God's face on you? Delighting Himself in you. There's a light that's coming from His face, and it is His favor, it is His grace that is shining onto you. And this is the joy. Psalm 67 verse 1. May God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine on us. Psalm 80 verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Daniel 9:17, and now, O our God, hear the prayer. Peter was talking about prayer this morning. Here Daniel is on his knees praying this. And now, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his holy desires, and cause your face to shine on your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He's praying for Jerusalem. He saw that the 70 years of being in exile is finished, and it's time for the people to go back to Jerusalem, and he's praying into that prophecy. James 1 verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And then the last one, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just to recap, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave His life. And by making the cross central in our lives, we are willingly giving our lives. But the rewards are so great. We are part of the city of God, as it says in Romans 4. We have peace with God. And we have access to this grace. And because of that, we have this joy, we have this face of God, the light shining from His face on us. Imagine you standing up every morning and already you can picture God's face on you. And He's smiling over you. He says, "This is my son. This is my daughter." Like He said to Jesus when Jesus was baptized, when John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and the heavens opened up, He says, "This is my son, and I am well pleased with him." That is the words He's speaking over us this morning. God is well pleased with us. Thank you. We pray for us. Father, thank you that we can understand you better by your word and by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we can know in our inner man that you are looking at us and you are well pleased with us. You are looking at us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we believe in what you have done, Lord Jesus, and because we believe that you are seated at the right hand of God the Father, we know that we are righteous in you. We are not sinful anymore. You have taken our sin on you, Lord Jesus, and you have given us your righteousness. But when we sin, when we go off the road, we have your grace, Lord, that you say in 1 John 1 verse 9, that if we ask for forgiveness, you will forgive us. And you will forget about our shortcomings and our sins. So, Father, we thank you for being a gracious God, being a good Father. We give you all glory in Jesus' name.